Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be preaching on one of my favorite topics, probably one of the most misunderstood things among the, in the body of Christ. There's not many people who flow or are prepared to do what it takes to move in the anointing of God. And I want to teach you today about the anointing of God. Now, here's the plan. The objective is that I am going to flood you with scriptural information about the anointing. You're going to write down as many scriptures as you can. And whatever you can't write down, you're going to grab the tape. Because I did think about doing the little handout, but Rob said it would be a book. Anyway, we've actually thought we might put together a little notebook for you Bayside people. Wouldn't that be really cool? And you could have your notes and you could have the preacher, and at the back you could have anybody who is good enough to do an insert. You can actually pop that in the back so you don't have all these pieces of paper hanging around the world. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. So today I want to teach you. I've got 10 points on the anointing. And then after that, we are just going to let rip in this place, because the Holy Spirit is very keen and very willing to enable us through the anointing. So are you all with me? Are you all going to be right? Are you ready? Now listen, turn to your neighbor and say, I don't think she's going to breathe. Because it feels like that. Turn to them and say, will she come up for air? Okay, are you ready? Firstly, I want to make a statement about the anointing, and I will make this several times today, and I want you to remember it. The anointing is worth anything I have to give up to have it. The anointing is worth anything that I have to give up to have it. Write that down and turn to your neighbor and say, the anointing is worth anything I have to give up to have it. By the end of this morning, you'll believe it. The anointing is a spiritual force that accompanies the Holy Spirit. It comes with the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. Some people seem to think it is, but it's not. The anointing is separate to the Holy Spirit, but it comes with the Holy Spirit. The anointing is called an it. 1 John 2, verse 27. We'll go to that in a moment. The Holy Spirit is never referred to as it, but as he in John 14, 16. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you want to just flick to this scripture, please do. John 14, we're going to read from verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The anointing is like a spiritual oil which enables us to go well beyond our own abilities. The anointing releases the full potential of God in us. Can you see how important the anointing is to our lives? How many of us want to have the full potential? Potential is one of the most scary words that I have ever heard in the dictionary. I know lots of people who have got incredible potential, but potential is latent excellence that either will or will not come to the fore. Potential is nothing unless it is released. People say, I have potential. Yeah, but sure, what are you doing about it? What are you allowing God to do about it? How are you allowing the anointing to work on your potential? There are many different references in the Bible regarding the Spirit of God, the anointing, the hand of the Lord, the power of God, and they're all interchangeable. There's 165 references to the anointing in Scripture, and there are 8 different words. They mean all kinds of things, including rubbing the anointing oil on, being anointed with oil, the anointing on us, the anointing in us. That's another sermon. But it's through our relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit that we understand that that is where the anointing and the presence of God is found. Here we go on the 10 points. Are you ready? Point number 1, the anointing in us. Like I said earlier in 1 John 2 verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it, the anointing is a force, it's it, has taught you, you will abide in him. This doesn't mean that you don't need teaching of the Word of God from the pastors or from elders or from anyone else who is going to teach you. This means that when you know the Word of God, the Holy Spirit applies it. The anointing shows you where and how to apply it in your world. There's four important things to know about the anointing in us. Number one, every single believer, in other words, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised 3 days later, that he died for your sins, and if you hand your life over to him so that he is Lord of your life, because let's face it, not one of us does a very good job on our own, then you are a believer, and then the anointing remains is in you. Number two, we can learn how to arouse or release this anointing within us. Number three, you don't need to take this down, I can see. Not even shorthand would do that. You need an anointing to write. The anointing remains in us regardless of our circumstances. You may not feel it. You may not be aware of it. But the anointing that is in us remains in us regardless. Number four, it is an internal counselor for one reason, to cause us to remain in Christ. Some people blame the anointing for all silly sorts of stuff that they do. The anointing is very powerful. It is very attractive, but it does not cause us to sin. It causes us to live in Christ. The anointing is like a spiritual information superhighway with infinitely more information than the internet. Quote Phil Pringle. I don't make any apologies today because I have had the pleasure and the privilege of sitting under some of the current people who flow in the anointing of God. Both Pastor Phil Pringle and our dear brother Rodney Har Brown in America. And you know, there's not very many people who are prepared to take the flack when you start flowing in the anointing. But I'm blessed because I love the anointing of God. I'm prepared to lay down my life for the anointing of God. When you've been dry and haven't sensed the presence of God and you get in a place where you sense the oil of heaven on your life, you will do whatever it takes to remain in that place, believe me. So a lot of what I've learned, as well as through the scripture, the actual practicalities, I have been able to discuss with some of these great men and great women who flow in this area. And I've been very blessed. The anointing has access to the knowledge of God. The anointing is released in us as it is needed, in the right time, at the right place. It's amazing. Second point is the anointing on us, which is different from the anointing in us. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 7, we read regarding Aaron, and you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Oil was not just a symbol of priesthood. It could be physically felt, and it left a trail. Now, my daughters a couple of weeks ago got a jar of Vaseline, and they, in 3 minutes, totally obliterated my house. There was Vaseline everywhere. My girlfriend walked in and suddenly skidded from one end of the house to the other. The Vaseline. Remote control, Vaseline. I told my husband it was everywhere. He said, it's on my razor. I said, it was everywhere. He said, it's in my shoes. I said, it's everywhere. He said, I don't believe it. It's on the doorknobs. I said, it's everywhere. Then they took into a bottle, I kid you not, this size essential oil. This size. The house smells great. But a little oil goes a long, long way. Now, when in the Old Testament they anointed the priests with oil, they didn't just do a little spray can like this and spray them. They got a big bucket and they anointed them with oil so that the oil flowed all over them. The anointing flowed all over them. Now, I know that there's some fights that people get into and they actually put oil on the two competitors. And that is so that they are slippery and it's harder to grab them. Now, if we're anointed from heaven, it's harder for our opponents to grab us because we're not able to stuff doesn't catch on to us and offend us and cause us problems. And when we walk around and we are anointed, we leave a trail. Peter's shadow healed people. He was anointed. People need to know where you've been. They need to go, that's the oil of the anointing. There's something different about those people. That's what the anointing does for us. That's what the oil of heaven does for us. The anointing is amazing. I do have the spray can for a reason. Don't worry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The anointing is upon us to guarantee what is to come. The anointing is upon us so that we can be more effective ministers. You don't always know when you have the anointing, but you certainly know when you haven't got it. And that's scary. But remember that the anointing is worth anything you have to give up to have it. The anointing, like I mentioned, is the oil of heaven. The anointing lubricates. It prevents friction. It stops us from squeaking. You know, some squeaky Christians. And they squeak about everything. They just need some oil from heaven. I got this can and it says, it's a lubricant. It's a corrosion inhibitor. Now, if you have the oil of heaven in you, you will not allow little things to eat into your life. Corrosion eats into your world. And if you have the oil of the anointing in your life, you will not allow things that people said or people say or people things that people do or things that people don't do eat into your world. Because the oil of heaven is a corrosion inhibitor. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger. The oil of heaven is an anti-seize. It doesn't allow you to seize up, become creaky, stop doing what you're doing. The oil of heaven keeps you in the flow. I like this one. The oil of heaven is a release agent. It enables you to flow and go into places because you're smooth and the enemy can't get on you. I'm talking about smooth in the way that your spirit is sitting well. You're not crankily and crotchety and easily irritated and offended. You just are. The oil of heaven burns in our lives. It's so important. If you take a wick and you burn that wick without oil, it will burn very, very quickly. But once you put that wick in oil, it has 100 times the lifespan. And sometimes we get burnt out, run down, trodden down, whatever down, because we are not allowing the oil of heaven to burn. We're making ourselves burn. Don't do that. Not a good plan. The sitting under the anointing and allowing the oil of heaven to permeate our lives is the most major way that we will overcome fatigue, stress, and stress in our lives. You know, the world is looking for spas. I love spas. But there is nothing that takes the place of spending time in the presence of God and gathering the anointing around you. Nothing. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The Hebrew word here for wait actually means to bind together by twisting, to collect, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry upon. This scripture tells us how we can wait on the Lord and receive supernatural strength and then go forward. We bind together, becoming entwined. You know, it's not me doing the work of the Lord or the Lord doing his work through me. It's us together. We do it together. He moves, I moves. He stops, I stop. It's that kind of partnership that is required. We collect. You know, you say you're thirsty. I say, okay, just put the bucket out in the rain. So you put the bucket out in the rain and you grab a little bit of rain. And you take that little bit of rain and you take that drop and it doesn't do very much for you. But you, if you left that whole bucket there for a little while, because it's time, takes time to gather the anointing, that bucket would become full and there would be enough to drink and enough to probably pour over yourself. But you know what? We try to sit under the presence of God. We sit for 1 minute, we get one drop, and we think our thirst is quenched. So we go into a situation where it's dry and we actually have nothing to give. Whereas if we waited and we collected a giant bucket and then we take that into the situation and we throw it out, you know, something happens. There's an impact. When the anointing has been gathered for the job, there's an impact. It's not just one little drop that barely touches the surface. Believe me, when my children took even one little pot of essential oil, it had an impact on my world, fairly major. And when you go out from this place, you should be drenched in the oil of heaven, so that every step you take, every place that you put your foot, there's a trail left behind you. You might not even be aware of it, but that people have been touched. They've been just amazed that you have walked into their world. But not just you, it's what you've left behind you, which is the tangible presence of God in the form of the anointing. We must look, employ our spiritual vision. We've got spiritual eyes. We've got two sets of eyes, the eyes in our head and the eyes of our spirit, so we can see the things of God. We must wait on the Lord. There's no shortcuts. Time is the price, and the price must be paid. It does not matter. People say, you know, what is the most important thing in your life? And people will say money, and people will say health, and people will say all sorts of things. But the bottom line is time. You cannot get time back. You cannot get time back. You can get money back, but you cannot get time back. And it is so important that we give this most precious thing that the Lord has given us back to him. We must renew or exchange our strength for his. We must become totally committed to refuse to become involved in anything that causes the anointing to lift from us in any way. I sometimes find I love to talk about the supernatural. And this is one of our core values. This is where we're preaching about over the next months. And we will contend for the supernatural. And I love to talk about the supernatural. And sometimes I'll tell people straight what I am. I'll say, you'll never guess. And I give them a bit of a tease. And they say, no, they go through all sorts of things that they think I am. And I'll say, I'm a minister of the gospel. Other times I'll say, I work in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. So do I. And we have a great conversation. And 9 times out of 10, I'm able to say to the person, can I pray for you? Would that be okay? I said, you know, you might sense something because I believe that, you know, I bring the presence of God. It's great. Doesn't make for a good facial, though. They end up talking to you the entire time. Oh dear. But you know what? Sometimes when you get talking about the supernatural, people like to get off on the devil. I believe there is a hell. I believe there is a devil. I believe there's demons. But the bottom line is there's more angels than there are demons. And the bottom line is that when you bring the Holy Spirit forward, when you bring him forward, he will show up. And the anointing accompanies him, and stuff happens. Major stuff happens. The anointing is a moisturizer. The oil of heaven also moisturizes us. It causes us not to be too sensitive or easily hurt. Without the anointing, you're brittle. Without the anointing, you're not grateful. Without the anointing, you're cranky, irritable, unapproachable. Yeah, some of you might not have the anointing. You do have the anointing in you if you're a believer, but you might not have the anointing on you. And you need to get that by spending time in the presence of God. The anointing is a personality enhancer. Makes you attractive. When Samuel anointed David with the holy oil, it just totally put him in another space. He became so attractive to King David that nobody else could soothe him. Nobody else could help him. There were other musicians. God anointed his ability, but there was other musicians, but it was just his whole way. He was anointed for the task. Number three, the anointing is a tangible spiritual force. Paul was arrested by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never yet, on any of the movies, seen a policeman go, "Excuse me, don't mean to be too aggressive or anything, but I'm going to arrest you." No, it's more like, "Halt! You have the right to remain silent on anything you've said," and they push you into the car. You would know if you had been arrested. And when you're arrested by the Holy Spirit, you know it. Just recently in Perth, we took our dentist to the meetings that we had in Perth with Rodney Har Brown. And he called me up on the platform, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to share tonight? I hadn't any idea. And I'm walking up here, and as I get to this step, the anointing hits me so hard that I can hardly breathe and that I certainly can't talk. So Rodney's standing here, and I'm going, I can't even do it now, but my mouth was going at 100 miles an hour, but not talking. And I can, and Rodney's like, "So would you like to tell us, say something?" And I'm like, and eventually I blurted out, "I don't care." And what I was trying to say was, "I don't care about anything, only Jesus." Now, it was such a sign and a wonder because my dentist, I kid you not, my dentist was in the front row. And it was such a sign and wonder to him, he ended up signing up as a partner. Because even when he has the drill in my mouth, I can still talk. And so he was up. Jack Tolge was there. He saw it. He couldn't believe it. I was so arrested by the power of God. I was so smashed by the power of God. I couldn't have done anything if I had wanted to. You know, snot, tears, dribble. It was amazing. I've had those experiences a couple of times in my life, and every time I've had them, you know, it's like you try to, well, before, until this particular one, it was like, oh, like in front of 13,000 people, I just talked that afternoon and I'd said, "This is ridiculous, people, whenever they get touched by God, that they can't move." Well, that's stupid, of course they can move. So I get called up to testify, and as I walk towards the platform, I thought Rodney had hit me, and I looked up ready to smack him back. That's the truth, my friends. And anyway, but it wasn't him. It was the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't move. I was walking like this. And for 45 minutes, I stood like this. And I was trying to make myself inconspicuous. I can't even do it now if I tried. So I went down to try and get down on the floor and couldn't do it. And then I got back up again. And I went. This went on and on. And anyone that came near me to try and touch me went out under the power of God. It was just one of those things. But you see, if you're desperate for a touch of God, if you're desperate for the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life, you really don't care. In Mark 5, verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd," or in the King James it says, "in the press, and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" You see, Jesus felt it go, and the woman felt it come. Now listen, the disciples were going, "What are you talking about, Jesus? People are like pressed up beside you, and you're saying, 'Who touched you?' There's 100 people touching you." But Jesus knew that this woman had made a demand on the anointing. She had touched him. She had touched the anointing on him. And she, before she went out to do this, had determined, the Bible said she had determined in her heart to touch him, if she could just touch the hem of his garment, because the anointing can be in anything, on anything. And she knew she didn't even have to speak to him, but if she could just touch him, she would be healed. The anointing is a presence in our homes. The anointing is a weight of glory in our bodies. The word for glory is kabod, K-A-B-O-D, if anyone's still keeping up with me with notes. It literally means a weight or importance. I'd like to read to you a testimony of our dear friend, Pastor Phil Pringle. He says, in February 1995, Rodney Howard Brown came to our church to hold a week of meetings after I had flown to Dallas asking him to come. On the Sunday he started, I sat on the stage behind him as he spoke in the morning services. Not a lot happened in the church. Before the night service, the Lord told me to sit down the front in the congregation. As I left the stage after introducing Rodney Howard Brown, I attempted to sit on a seat at the front. However, I found myself slipping off the seat towards the floor. I kept regaining my composure, but my breathing was also getting heavier. And it seemed to me the Lord was telling me to sit on the floor. I replied, no one else is, and I'm the pastor. I can relate to that. Along with about 600 pastors from all over Australia, plus our own people and other visitors, our building was completely full. And so I was feeling pretty awkward about doing anything unusual right then. Anyway, I continued to find it more awkward to remain on the seat, and so I just sat down on the floor. As soon as I did, the glory of God filled my chest. It felt like a golden glory vibrating in my upper abdomen. I began sobbing and laughing uncontrollably, lying on my back, tears streaming down my face for God, for the souls of men and women, and for the will of God to be done. When the service was finally over, hours later, although it seemed like just a few moments to me, I found I could not walk. I couldn't lift my chest off the floor. I could get my legs up in the air. I could lift my head, but my chest simply would not lift from the floor. At the end of the night, it took two men to get me to my feet and then carry me. One of them told me later that I was extremely heavy. I'd heard of others having this experience also. This is the glory of God, the weight of God, which can get inside us and transform our lives. This is being anointed with the glory of God. Number four, the anointing destroys bondage. Now, we've heard many times quoted that the anointing breaks the yoke. Well, if I come into your house and I break a pot, you could probably fix that pot. But that word, more correctly rendered, is actually destroy. Obliterate, completely make unreconstructible. Amen. Now, when the anointing touches our life, the yoke of the enemy is totally obliterated, destroyed, rendered useless. Yes. Now, our brain may think something else, but the fact is that that is what has happened. It's not just broken a little bit so that it can be repaired. It's obliterated off of our lives. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The yoke referred to there was a financial yoke. There was taxes that the Assyrian king was asking of the people of Palestine. It was putting them under a ridiculous pressure. Some of you today might need a financial yoke broken off of your lives. And that's quite possible here today, believe you me. Paul imparted the anointing onto handkerchiefs, laid them on sick people, and they were healed. That was the yoke of sickness that was broken on their lives. Point number five, we've talked about number one, we've talked about the anointing in us, we've talked about the anointing on us, we've talked about the anointing as a tangible force in our lives, we've talked about the anointing destroying the yoke, totally wrecking it, and now we're talking about various kinds of anointing. Because there's an anointing for almost everything we do. My point is, if there's no anointing in it, don't do it. Now listen. It's a wet day outside. Nobody's rushing to get to the beach. So I want to tell you something. Guys, you might be really happy about this. But I actually believe that there's even anointing for going shopping. And if there's no anointing in it, I just get out of there. Because I've got to tell you, and some of my girlfriends here might want to, you know, tell me off about this, but you can talk to me later. There is a world going to hell, and I do not have time to window shop while that's happening. I do not have time to randomly wander around shops for half a day or a day. I do not have the time. I don't mind if it's a little bonding experience and you're going out with your girlfriend, you're having a coffee and you're chatting and stuff's happening at the same time. But I know people who are almost addicted to window shopping. It's all that they do. That's sad. And there is no anointing on that. There you go. I didn't say that last night. You got a bit extra there. But I believe there's anointing for everything we do. The other day I was changing Paris, and you'll laugh at this, but one of my earrings came out and the back of the earring fell onto where I was changing her. And the front of the earring I couldn't find anywhere. And I stripped off all my clothes, stripped off all Paris's clothes, and Rob said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for an earring." He says, "Oh, right." Anyway, I'm saying, God, I'm about to preach on the anointing this weekend. There is an anointing for everything. There has to be an anointing for finding somebody. He says, "Yes, there is. Would you like a few scriptural references?" I'm like, "Yes." And I thought about the woman who lost the coins and different anointings for finding things. And I'm like, "Yes, okay, I'll have that. Thanks right now, please." So the Lord said, "Okay, get down." I've said this word right. Prostrate. I nearly always say the other word. Prostrate. Not prostate. Prostate on the floor. What did I say? Prostate. On the floor. So, because we like to put God in a box, even though Rob preached on that last week, I'm like, "Oh God, you're so clever. If I get down on the floor," because I'd already taken my other earring out, thrown it on to see how obvious it would be, and it was very obvious. So I'm like, "Well, it's got to be here. If I get down on the floor, God, this is so clever of you. I'm going to see it from that angle. You're amazing, God." And I felt God was laughing at me. And he says, it's like God said, I said, "God, I'm down here on the floor now. I'm lying prostrate. I'm thinking if Rob comes in now, he's going to totally think I've lost it." And don't go there in your minds. I was now dressed. I'm on the floor. And I'm looking around and I can't find this earring. And I said, "What has this got to do with finding the earring, Lord? I thought you were very clever." He said, "I am. This is about obedience. Now get up." So I got up, stood up, and I'm like, pfft. I mean, no, I'm laughing because I'm thinking this is hysterical. Looked down, and there was my earring right on the floor in front of me, like as obvious as day and night. But I was still doubtful, so I just checked to make sure the other one hadn't come out and fallen down there. But it was amazing because there's an anointing for everything that you need. And it all is linked in with obedience. Just on that, you know, sometimes you want what God says to you to quickly tally up with something in your natural mind. Like you phone somebody because you sense the Holy Spirit telling you to do it. And you want them to say, "Fantastic, I was so happy that you rang." It's not about you and recognition. It's about you being obedient. You know, I've seen a man came up one day and gave Rodney an outboard motor for a boat. And I knew he didn't have a boat and I knew he didn't need it. So I watched to see what he would do. "Thank you, bless you, that's awesome, that's fantastic." And I said to Rodney, "What are you gonna do with that?" He says, "Watch." I'm like, "Okay, I'm watching." Anyway, about 3 days later, a guy comes up, tells Rodney a story about how his outboard boat motor had done this and whatever, and Rodney says, "I know what kind of motor that is." And the guy said, "What?" And Rodney told him. He said, "That's unbelievable." He said, "Yeah, but somebody else gave me it the other day." Now, you could have easily said, "God, you've just given me something that I totally don't need." You know, it's up to you how you receive that, whether it's going to be useful in your hands one day or not. It's up to you to be obedient and move things around. Not everything that you do will have an immediate confirmation, like the person will go, "You're the answer to my prayers." Sometimes you'll do stuff, and all that God is interested in is how obedient you are. You might not get an immediate result. So if you sense a quickening in your spirit to do something, if you sense a quickening about that bread run, just be obedient. It doesn't mean that automatically you will have found your ministry. But if you sense something happening, it's only as you sense the anointing on you, the quickening in your spirit, that as you sense that, you become more and more open to it and more aware of it, and therefore more and more obedient to it, so you don't miss out on some of the opportunities that God has for you. So there are many kinds of anointing. In Luke 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." There's a lot of stuff in there. The anointing of the Spirit came on Samson in Judges chapter 15, verse 4, giving him tremendous supernatural strength. You know, Samson doesn't say in the Bible anywhere that Samson was an amazing guy with incredible physique and the Philistines would be scared stiff of him. Samson was not like a full break. Do you know that Phil Brake gathered together a sheep, a real live sheep, and carried it into a dormitory at 3 o'clock in the morning? Now, that was not the anointing on him. That was his own strength ability. Now, if my husband, Rob, gathered together a sheep and carried it in to a dormitory at 3 o'clock in the morning, it would be a miracle he would be awake. But if he actually did that, believe me, that would be the anointing. You know, Samson was able to kill the Philistines from the strength of the anointing. He could lift the gates of an entire city with the strength of the anointing. And he could kill a lion with his bare hands from the strength of the anointing. Like, that is supernatural. The anointing rested on Moses to govern. Some of you need an anointing to govern in your work situations or in your family. The anointing was to govern the nation of Israel. When it came time for him to delegate his responsibility, God redistributed a portion of his anointing and put it on 70 people so that they had the anointing to make decisions. Have you ever asked God to stir up the anointing within you to make decisions? Because that's what it is. Anointing to govern, an anointing for guidance, an anointing for judgment. The anointing came on Balaam to prophesy. Numbers 24, verse 2. The anointing came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet. Now you might think that was anointing to make him a great musician. Yes, there is anointings to make you a great musician. But in that particular situation, it was the anointing that enabled him to gather almost an entire nation in order to defeat the Midianites. You have to have some good leadership skills to do that. The anointing to gather is very important, especially if you want to bring people into the kingdom. The anointing was on Jesus. He had various anointings, the anointing of understanding, the ability to counsel, and strength for the task. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, it tells us where the anointings that were upon him. The Israelites were an agricultural community, so they expected the anointing to rest there. They said, "Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest." That's what they would wait on the Lord to see, the hand of the Lord on their lives. The Holy Spirit can place the anointing on us to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. In Isaiah 59, 21, it says, "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, said the Lord, for this time and forevermore." The anointing gives us visions and dreams. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and sat me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones." How many people need the anointing to revive dreams? If you're not having dreams and visions, you need the anointing. It's the only way you get it. You can't conjure up something. It was the anointing of the Spirit of God that came upon Mary that enabled her to conceive. Luke 1, verse 35. "And the angel answered her and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One that is born will be called the Son of God." It is the anointing that enables us to be effective witnesses. Do you get the drift? There are many kinds of anointing, and we need them all at various different times. But we need to know what to ask for. Point number six, the anointing empowers us to go beyond our natural ability. There is a boldness and confidence that comes when the anointing is upon you. The anointing releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us. It stops us from being squeaky and complaining. Even if you were the person for the job and you had a squeaky, complaining, grungy attitude, you would not get it. And therefore, you'd stay that way. So you need the anointing on your life. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Whew, that's pretty exciting. Now, we talked about the anointing on Samson, that gave him supernatural strength. You know, he had a secret to his anointing, but he gave that up. He played with the world and gave up the secret to his anointing. We can't afford to do that, because in doing that, Samson not only lost his spiritual vision, but he also lost his eyes. They were plucked out from his head. But God is into restoration, and if you have played with the world and you have lost the secret to your anointing that's upon you, God can give that back. And you know, Samson actually defeated more Philistines in his death than he ever had done in his life. Number seven, the anointing releases joy. Samson had lost his joy. The Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. To lose your joy is to lose your strength. Samson even lost his awareness of the presence of God. Now, like I said earlier, if you don't sense the presence of God, it could be for many reasons. But one of them could be that you are not spending time in the presence of God where the anointing comes. The anointing sets us free from grief. Isaiah says the Lord will bring consolation, beauty, and the oil of joy to console those who mourn in Zion, Isaiah 61, verse 3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The anointing comes upon us not to make us look good, not to make things that people want to happen, but so that God can be glorified. The anointing comes upon us so that we can pack boxes and send them to another country. The anointing comes upon us so we can do the bread run. The anointing comes upon us so that we are quickened to do the 40-hour famine, and not to do it just the way we did it last year, but to do it even better. To bring glory to God so that the church can stand ahead of any other organization. Amen? Amen. Number eight, you still with me?
Yes.
Are you still breathing?
Yes.
Good. The anointing can be imparted. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them. How many of you want to be in a position where power goes out from you and people get healed, body, soul, and spirit? You need more than just to be open to the anointing of God. You need to hunger and thirst for the touch of God. You know, often hunger for God comes out of crisis and a place of desperation. You know, God wants us to be in a place where we want the anointing of God. We want to be in the presence of God just because we love him. Just because there is no other place on the face of the planet that I would rather be. Sometimes I get so caught up in the anointing of God that hours pass. One night Rob left me in our living room and he came back 4 hours later and I was standing in exactly the same spot, had not moved. Totally caught up in the presence of God. Awesome. If you've never had an experience like that, I challenge you. You've got to get ready, because if you don't recognize the presence of God, you're going to feel like a stranger in heaven. Can't take anything with you. Not a thing. None of us know how close we are to heaven. You know, I often hear people talking about old people's homes as God's waiting rooms. Ha! Unfortunately, a lot of other people run their race and finish it a lot quicker. But I know when I get to heaven, I want a lot more of what I've had here. And I know that I'll recognize it because I love the presence of God. The anointing is imparted by the laying on of hands. That's why we lay hands on you when you come up the front. In Genesis 48, verse 18, there's a scripture here. It talks about Israel blessing Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, by placing his hands on them. He knowingly, get this, He knowingly puts his right hand on Ephraim because he wanted him to get the greater blessing. Now, you may watch me praying for people sometimes, and I will not necessarily go down the road like this. I will watch to see where the Spirit of God directs me, where the anointing is. Because it's not a case of me doing it my way and the Holy Spirit going, you know, it's here. And we're going, oh no, but that's just not, I need to go this way. We do it together. You watch people, you see them at the altar call. Some of them come up and they go, or they don't even do that. But you know, you sense the anointing. I can sense, I know the anointing is a tangible force. I can feel it through my body. Sometimes I feel it so strongly that it feels like electricity coming out of my hands. It's quite incredible. And my thing, when I was in Africa just recently, one night I prayed for over 800 people, and I was basically running from person to person to person, because anytime I slowed down, I could sense the anointing lift. And everything in my natural brain was going, you shouldn't be running in a church. But when I tried to do what I wanted to do, the anointing lifted, and I'm not prepared to be disobedient. Amen. I fear the Lord too much. I had a job to do. And at one particular point, I was running and praying, and this one girl let this shriek out, and she went to the floor, and I thought, oh, and I went to go back. And as I went to go back, the Holy Spirit said, no, just leave her. Keep going. So I kept going. And later on, I found that she had been abused by 7 members of her family from the age of 13. She'd had a broken pelvis. And when she was on the floor, the Holy Spirit showed her every single person, including one taxi driver that she couldn't even describe to the police, who had also raped and abused her, showed her everyone. And behind her was Jesus smiling while she was on the floor. This is the vision she had. And she smiled and released them. And she said, for the first time since I was 13, I have got no fear, no pain. She was woken up at 5 o'clock in that morning with burning sensation through her body. And she said, I have no pain in my body. I can move my legs. I have no pain. And it was just a case of being, you know, I thought, go back and you know, but God was dealing with her. We must follow the Lord in ultimate obedience if we want to be vessels that pour out the anointing of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, and 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, it talks about the New Testament believers stirring up the anointing, the gift that is within them, the gift that God has placed within them through the laying on of hands and prophesying. So as we come to God for the anointing to be imparted in our lives, we've got to hunger for God. We've got to have an attitude of coming to the person, recognizing that they have something to give. Believe you me, the person that is bringing the anointing has paid a price. Usually a big one, and often one that nobody ever sees. There's not a man or woman of God that I know that is on the face of this planet today who is doing something significant for God that has not paid an incredible price. And before you start to flow in the anointing of God, you've got to be prepared that you will pay that price, because there's no going back once you start. There's nothing else that satisfies. So when you come to the person who is there bringing the presence of God, you must be totally yielded. You must leave by your agenda. Whoever it is, you might not think they're the person to pray for you, or whatever you think, it doesn't matter what you think. You bypass what you think in this particular situation, and you allow your spirit to respond. You must believe that the power of God will be imparted. That woman who pressed into Jesus didn't go, oh, maybe this is the answer. No, she knew, if I can only touch. She was desperate. And you must be open to what the Holy Spirit will say or do. Point number 9, we're nearly there, guys. The measure of the anointing. Now, I said to you earlier about whenever God took a portion of Moses' anointing, and he divides it up among 70 people, so he puts 1/70th on every single one of these men. Now, these guys are totally overcome. They did not know what hit them. They were lying on the floor. They were prophesying. They were shouting. They were crying. It's all there. Read it. They didn't know what had hit them. But then along comes Joshua, good old Joshua. And he's like, Moses, excuse me, they're meant to prophesy inside the tabernacle. Had you forgotten? Because he was getting caught up with what looked right or what could be right and religious tradition. And Moses was like, for heaven's sake, have you no idea what this feels like? I have been carrying the presence of God for 80 years. Now someone else has got a tiny itsy-witsy bit of what I've been carrying. I'm just so relieved they've got the anointing of God. Just let them be. You have no idea what I have faced over these 80 years. You have no idea of the dealing of God. Why do you think I have to wear this thing around my head? Moses had to wear a veil because he spent so much time in the presence of God that his face, the anointing had permeated his very flesh so that his face had shone. And as New Testament believers, we can be like that too. There's different parts of the Bible where it says, and they knew they had been with Jesus. Amen. I want people to know that I have been with Jesus and that I have brought something out from the presence of God. When God sends us into a situation, there is no limit to the anointing except for our capacity to carry it. Moses had learned over 80 years of the dealing of God in his life, how to carry the presence of God, how to protect the presence of God, how to make sure that the anointing didn't lift by him putting himself in situations that weren't right. The anointing grows in direct proportion to our relationship with God. And the anointing grows in the secret places. You will not know if your anointing has increased until you've had time in the presence of God. That's where it increases. And where you see the result of that is when you go into the office, you go into the street, and you have more success than you had before. You go into the schools, and stuff happens that never happened before. It does not happen at the school. It does not happen in the office. It does not happen on the platform. It happens before. It is when you put your foot out. It's like what Phil Pringle said, when he actually did what he was told to do and sit down, then the glory of God filled him. It's what happens in the secret places that increases our anointing. Number 10, last point. Oh, the anointing revives us. And some of you are thinking, I need that right now. The anointing refreshes our spirit. In the Middle East, they would wash your feet and massage them and put oil in them and you would feel refreshed. How many people know that if your feet feel good, you all feel good? Yes. And the Holy Spirit refreshes us. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent therefore and turn to God. If you're sensing that you're away from God in any way, or that you're not sensing the presence of God, there may be an area in your life that you need to repent of. It may just even be a stinking, rotten attitude. You just don't know. Got to be careful. So that your sins may be wiped out. Yes, having a bad attitude is a sin. Not permissible. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. That is the only place that times of refreshing comes from. The only place. The meaning of the word refreshing in the Greek literally means recovery of breath. Revival. Listen, I know, because you're human. There's some of you who need a recovery of breath in your marriage. There's some of you who need a recovery of breath in your friendships, in your finances, in your offices, in every area of your life. You need a recovery of breath. Some of you need dreams. Some of you need visions. We all need the anointing. We all need an increase of the anointing. We all need a touch from heaven. There's an incredible story in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, where the woman made room for the anointing. The man of God who had the anointing on him, she made room. She literally built on a room so that every time he could come, he could stay there. And through that, her dreams became reality. But then her dream fainted. How many people know that your dream can faint if it's not kept and nurtured by the presence of God? But the man of God and the anointing revived the dream. Your dream is never too dead for a revival. And if you feel that it's past revival, it can have a resurrection. I love the anointing. The anointing is worth anything I have to give up to have it. The anointing draws the prayers of the Holy Spirit from deep within us and turns our thoughts towards Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The anointing is the power of God upon us to bring blessing. to bring enabling grace into our lives. Under the anointing, we totally eradicate and defeat every single work of the enemy. And we reinforce the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul shared earlier what he went through. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't want to know the gory details. The anointing permeates our bodies with life, our emotions with joy and peace, our mind just with a sense of knowing, a guarantee of the future. And our spirit, the anointing fills our spirit with inspiration. I love the anointing of God. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room today. I thank you, Jesus, that your word has so many references to the anointing, the key to enabling us to release the potential that you have put in every single person in this room. Father, I pray now, Lord God, for everybody here, Lord, that you would stir up and quicken in their hearts a desire to be more fruitful, Lord, a desire to be more obedient so that you will be glorified upon this earth. Thank you, Jesus.